Good morning. Welcome to What's Up Boone County. I appreciate you joining us this second weekend in January 2024. Our guest this week is Stephen Elkins, who is fairly recently hired, although he's been here for how long, Steve?
I have been here for a year.
A year. So he's been on the job a year. He's the director of the Boone County Area Plan Commission. He's essentially the senior staff person in charge of our county planning office, which is one of the many functions of county government. The planning department handles zoning and permitting and development of land, and it's an important role in our county government. We have other departments like the drainage department of county government and the highway department and the health department, and we could go on, but the planning department is one that plays an important role in the quality of life in our community, and Stephen is in charge of that. And we're going to talk to him about the role of the planning director, how this all works. You know, people periodically get all jacked up about an issue that affects their neighborhood or gets a lot of publicity, and people get confused about the role of the county versus the role of the municipalities. We're going to talk a little bit about that. So, Stephen, thanks for being our guest this week on What's Up Boone County.
Thank you so much, Kent.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your background. How'd you find your way to Boone County?
I found my way to Boone County because about a year ago, I came back to Indiana a vacation for my birthday and wanted to come back. Wanted to come back to the state where I was born. I had been away for almost 20 years, so I wanted to come back and contribute and be part of the community.
Where did you come from? Where were you living?
I lived in Denver.
All right.
So,
how long have you been engaged in the field of land planning?
I'd say about 10 years.
Well, how'd you get interested in it?
It goes back to my time at IU when I was living in Bloomington and was just interested seeing some of the local government meetings on TV and how it all worked and what the role of citizens were, what the role of staff was, what the role of elected officials and appointed officials were.
Do you have any particular training or certifications that are required for the job you hold?
I have a master's degree in community and regional planning from the University of New Mexico, which really I think is what, you know, paved the way for me to get my job and subsequent jobs, that gave me the educational background to do what I do. But like any job, you learn as you go and you pick up more as you go. So 10 years of professional experience, I think, prepared me well for this job.
So this is a full-time job. You're a salaried employee of county government, are you not?
Yes, sir.
A lot of the people who serve on these boards are appointed or elected, but they're essentially volunteers or part-time people. But that's not the case in your situation, is it?
The Board of Zoning Appeals and the Area Plan Commission are both appointed positions. There are 7 members of the Area Plan Commission, 5 members of the Board of Zoning Appeals. They are appointed by a variety of pieces of county government, whether that's the commissioners, county council, some of the school boards, the town of Advance. So those are the folks that ultimately I report to. They are obviously on a part-time basis citizen appointees.
Do the members who serve on the Plan Commission or the Board of Zoning Appeals, do they get compensated for their time, or are they truly voluntary?
They get compensated. I believe the rate is $55 a meeting.
Okay, so they get paid something, but it hardly pays for their gas, or their certainly doesn't pay for their time, does it?
Well, that I'll leave to you, but that's currently what they're compensated.
Well, I'm with you, and I suppose, is that set by state law, or is that a local decision to set that at $55 a meeting, if you know?
I don't know, but it's a really good question.
Yeah, well, yeah. It doesn't matter. It is what it is. All right, well, let's talk about, this is the second weekend in January, talking to Stephen Elkins, the director of the Boone County Area Plan Commission and the office in the planning department. What is the role of the county planning department? What do you guys do?
Sure. The role of the Area Plan Commission is, short range planning. And short range planning is somebody wants to build a house, build a barn, have a home occupation, we review it against the regulations that we have in place today. We're also responsible for long-range planning, which is, you know, our comprehensive plan and any other long-range planning activities the county wants to engage in. You know, we also are responsible for the building department, where we review to make sure that your structure is safe and habitable. Floodplain administration is one of our responsibilities. One thing I learned in the last few months is there's also a littering ordinance that the Area Plan Commission is partially responsible for administering. So,
well, that's good to know. We obviously know there's laws against littering, and it's your department who's in charge of what cleaning up or seeing to it somebody cleans up the mess on their property.
Yeah.
And we periodically read where the plan department will go after some landowner, usually rural, but not necessarily, who's just got trash or junk in their property, and they're violating the zoning ordinances or the litter ordinances or the health code or all the above. So that falls into your responsibility as well.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier you are supervised by the members of the plan commission themselves.
Yes,
so they have the authority to hire you.
Yes,
and supervise your work.
Yes.
A lot of public officials in county government work at the pleasure of the county commissioners or the county council, but in your case, as I recall by statute, it's the plan commission that hires, fires, and supervises you, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Well, so you have a staff there in your office who helps you with these responsibilities?
We have our administrative assistant, Ashley Elliott, and our building inspector, Kirby Britton, two full-time employees.
All right. And the building inspector, is he the one that does the inspections and the approvals of new structures to make sure they comply with the legal requirements for drainage and wiring and sanitary and all that sort of thing?
So there are other pieces of county government, of course, that get involved in drainage and sanitary. You know, our surveyor's office is, you know, responsible for drainage in the county, outside of municipalities, though she does work in some of the municipalities as well. And then, you know, sanitary, that is evaluated by our health department. Kirby is looking to ensure that the structure meets all building codes. I also review 95% of all projects as well to ensure that zoning compliance is met. So it's a team effort.
Sure. So one of the things your office does is to make sure the structure that's proposed to be built is legal on the site that's been selected, and that's, to one extent, it's a zoning consideration. You can't put a factory in a residential subdivision, for example. The house may be too big for the lot, or the use may be too tall for the zoning. So you've got a number of rules and standards that have to be met, don't they?
Yeah, we do. And, you know, our zoning code has been in place in its current form with few changes since 1998, along with our comprehensive plan. We also have the subdivision control ordinance, which governs lot splitting and how many lots can be created.
Well, let's talk about lot splitting, because that's an issue that comes up periodically. You say you've got a landowner out there, a rural landowner, who's got a 100-acre farm. They've got a child who wants to be part of the farm or wants to move back home, and the farmer wants to just split off 2 acres off of the farm field along the road and build a house for his son or daughter or whatever. Is that generally permitted, or there are rules that relate to that, aren't there?
There are rules that relate to it, and kind of like any government regulation, it's what was in place at the time.
The time the ordinance was enacted?
Correct. So, like, let's just use your example. Let's say it had been that way since 1904 and had not changed. Well, the subdivision control ordinance will give you a one-time out where you could split off your 2 acres as long as you go through our TAC process. And then, assuming it's zoned ag, you would need to get a special exception. Now, let's say in 2002, you split off 40 acres to your brother, and you just did it, and you didn't go through a subdivision control ordinance, you would have trouble splitting that 2 acres off today. You would have to go through a residential minor plat to split it off because you've already gotten...
If that's because you've already had your, quote, one permitted split. A lot of people don't understand that because a lot of people have thought or want to think that you ought to just be able to split off as many parcels along the road as you can. And there may have been a time in our county's history where that was commonly done, but those rules have changed. Primarily, as I recall or understand it, was to preserve agriculture. We just didn't want people to do that along our county roads. The roads were not designed for that kind of traffic. You got drainage and so forth issues. So the rules have tightened up. But it has made it harder for people to turn their small farm or their small rural acreage into a residential area, hasn't it?
I would say it has, and again, that's informed by the comprehensive plan, people's comfort for development in the greater county, a desire to retain agriculture, and, you know, something else that people have to sign when they go and build a house in the Ag Zone District is a right to farm agreement. However, what...
And that says what?
That says you acknowledge that you're moving into a rural area and that farming activities occur, and there are certain things that come along with farming. Smells, insects,
noise, dust.
And unfortunately, just what we see sometimes is people moving from urban to suburban environments because they want their piece of the country, but they don't want to necessarily deal with those impacts. So it's also designed to, you know, limit residential encroachment so that there aren't conflicts between people who thought they were getting a peaceful, quiet country life and the farmer who's been living next door and, you know, raising hogs for years.
Well, it's a real controversy occasionally, and they have attempted to come up with some rules to make it manageable. But nonetheless, when you move out in the rural area, you may have a hog farm next door. And, of course, there's an entire set of state laws and local regulations regarding confined animal feeding operations, where they can be, what sort of rules are in place with regard to the smells and the numbers and the size. And I have no idea what they all say, but I understand the concept. And that's part of what goes on in this process, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the other thing is, I think sometimes people get the notion that only single family homes and, you know, crop and animal production can go on in the ag district. But like any zoning code, there are certain uses that are allowed. They're obviously more restricted in the ag zone district, but, and most of them are through special exception. But
like mineral work. I mean, people dig holes, they excavate sand and gravel. It's out there. It's just another form of agriculture.
Or utilities. That's allowed by special exception. And that, you know, that's the other thing, is sometimes the state steps in and says you can't ban or prohibit things. So even though your local community might say, hey, we don't want, you know, we don't want a coal-fired power plant here, you know.
Or a landfill or a cell tower or whatever.
Sometimes the state steps in and says, no, you can't do that. So, and we are a political subdivision of the state, which means we are governed by state statute.
So state law would trump any local rules that we might have.
Yes.
Because they created us in the first place, and theoretically they can uncreate us if they choose to.
And one thing I've learned in my approximately year being back is when our state legislature and state government doesn't like local decisions, they have no problem changing the law. So they are either undone or cannot be done in the future.
Well, we understand how that works, and there's some logic to it, although when it hit home, it's sometimes frustrating for the locals. Well, we're going to continue our conversation with Area Plan Director Stephen Elkins about development in Boone County and how this system works after we take a moment to hear from our sponsors. We're back with What's Up Boone County this second weekend of January, talking with Area Plan Director Stephen Elkins, who's 1 year on the job. Has the job turned out like you thought it would? Has it been surprising to you in any particular way that you want to talk about?
I mean, that's a really good question. I think, you know, that whenever you take any job, there's certain things you think that are going to happen, and there are certain things that actually do happen. You know, I've been grateful that people in county government, citizens, you know, the people on my boards and commissions, you know, they have been patient. They have been willing to teach and explain things. You know, they have been willing to listen. You know, when I have to make a decision that isn't necessarily popular, You know, I think the overlay district is a really good example of, you know, I walked into a process that was already starting. I could tell that there was some frustration, you know, generally around the process. So I worked with the Area Plan Commission and the consultant to reset the process, to hear from the community. And it did make it take longer, but ultimately I think it was a work product and a regulatory end product that the community could support. And really it was just focusing on communication and feedback.
Well, let's talk about the overlay, because overlay is another aspect of zoning regulation where you create, as I understand it, a special area which has a special set of standards and requirements and restrictions. And it's called an overlay because it overlays over the top of the zoning code generally. So we have overlays. The city has them along its main corridors. The county has them south of Lebanon on I-65. That's been an overlay for a long time. But we've never really had an overlay north of 65. And is that what you're talking about, north of Lebanon along 65?
So the other thing to think about with existing overlays, of course, is, you know, Lebanon and Whitestown and Zionsville have annexed the I-65 corridor pretty much south of Highway 52. So all of that is now in an incorporated town or city.
And let's stop right there for a second, because I was going to mention that and I forgot, or I got off track. Your jurisdiction is only the unincorporated areas of Boone County unless the town chooses to be regulated by the Area Plan Commission, correct?
That is correct, you know, with the exception of the town of Advance. Advance is also under the Area Plan Commission's jurisdiction at their request.
So they've chosen to be under your authority because they don't have a planning department and choose not to have one. But Zionsville has one, Whitestown has one, Lebanon has one.
Thorntown and Jamestown also have their own.
So those areas of our county, they're in Boone County, but they're not under your jurisdiction because they are part of a municipal planning authority, correct?
That's correct. And we field questions all the time because people assume that they are. And so that's why, you know, one of the first questions we ask people who call is, where do you live? And,
exactly, where are we talking
and
about?
And people, you know, I think sometimes think that's Big Brother, but really what we're doing is trying to make sure that you are speaking to the right office, because we don't want to tell you how our office does it and then you go to Zionsville and it's something completely different.
Well, and these municipal lines change, as we know. Lebanon has annexed north and west recently and south several years ago. Whitestown has annexed an enormous amount of land around the town to the west of I-65. Zionsville has annexed and they've essentially taken over all of Union Township and probably all of Eagle also.
And a big part of Perry that was not in Whitestown.
So actually the area of your Area Plan Commission has shrunk considerably in the last 15 years, hasn't it?
It's shrunk considerably, and I think part of it is because, you know, I think of a project that wanted to go in north of Lebanon, and it was actually, the parcel was adjacent to the city of Lebanon, and they wanted to do a very urban development. They wanted to do a convenience store and a hotel. And the reality was they were in the ag zone district, the comprehensive plan didn't support it, so there really was no choice but to send them to Lebanon at that point.
Okay, so that's how it works. It depends on where the site is. People want to get a permit for a project, whether it's a new barn, whether it's a large structure, a structure that's larger than their house, then there are rules that relate to that as well, are there not?
There are, and it really is, you know, we've gotten quite a few requests in the last 3 to 4 months for a building that's substantially larger than the house. However, the way the zoning ordinance is written is if it's an accessory structure, meaning, you know, your primary use is that single family home and the barn is supposed to be accessory and you don't have 20 acres, you do need a variance if that barn exceeds the size of your house.
So that, and that's a local rule that
yes.
Our county government through the county commissioners have enacted.
Yes.
Those rules could be changed if the county government wanted to soften those restrictions.
Right.
Because the ordinance drafting is the responsibility ultimately of the county commissioners, is it not?
So it's my office, however, the Area Plan Commission and the commissioners both have to sign off. So it's not, I think sometimes people think that I can just change the rules and just make it say whatever, you know, whoever wants it to say or whatever I want it to say, but there is a public legal process so that it is done fairly and that it is people in appointed and elected positions rather than a staff member just changing the rules.
Sure. And the you mentioned the Board of Zoning Appeals. How do they differ? What's their role? How is their role different than the members of the Area Plan Commission?
Sure. So the Board of Zoning Appeals, they hear all variance requests. So that barn bigger than the house on a property less than 20 acres is a perfect example. That goes to the Board of Zoning Appeals only, and it's done.
And the variance could be the size of the structure, the proximity of the structure to the boundary line.
Or within the 40-foot agricultural buffer. You know, something else they look at are special exceptions, which is a fancy way of saying a conditional use permit, which the use is allowed. However, the Board of Zoning Appeals gets the final say based on, you know, what are the impacts around it? What is surrounding property owners said? What is the staff position?
So there might need to be some special restrictions imposed. We'll let you put your airport out here, or your hospital, or your landfill, but there's going to be some special rules on hours of operation, or buffering, or setbacks to protect people.
And the Area Plan Commission is mostly focused on, you know, plats as well as policy. Like I said, I report to that 7-member Area Plan Commission. They have the hiring and firing and policy guidance role. But like, for example, it was the Area Plan Commission that ultimately recommended the overlay district to the commissioners after we went through approximately a year-long process.
So the county commissioners has not taken final action yet on this proposed overlay, is that correct?
That's correct. Final action appears to be coming next month.
Next month, okay. Well, there's been a lot of conversation recently about solar farms, about wind farms. Whether that's permitted and under what circumstances it should be permitted and where it should be permitted, ultimately that's a zoning issue that your office would weigh in on and the county commissioners would have the final say on, correct?
So with solar and wind farms, under our code today, they are classified as utilities. So in the ag zone, it's a special exception, and it's not the Board of County Commissioners, it's the Board of Zoning Appeals. Now, the way the process works is there would be two hearings. They would go before the Area Plan Commission as well to look at the use and determine if it was appropriate per the comprehensive plan. Then it would go to the Board of Zoning Appeals. So there's two options for the public to weigh in. You know, I will say in about a year in this role, it's clear to me that people in the county, and I don't like speaking for anybody, but I will say, I've yet to find a lot of support for large-scale solar farms. And it's simply not supported in the comprehensive plan either to convert thousands of acres and put them under panels for 40 years.
Sure. So I've learned something today. I thought that was a violation of the ordinance. You're saying under some circumstances it might be permitted if the Board of Zoning Appeals and the Plan Commission were supportive of it.
And it's a special exception. And so, you know, as part of the overlay project, you know, I threw out the idea, can we ban utilities in the ag district? And that's where our attorney, Bob Clutter, said, no, you can't. State statute prevents it. The state has also prohibited local municipalities from banning solar and wind projects outright. So it's a fine balance between what does state statute allow and what does the local community want. And because it's not a permitted use, there will be public hearings, and ultimately it will be a board decision, not a staff decision.
Well, that's right, because at the end of the day, you're there to interpret and apply the ordinance, but you don't have the right to vary from the ordinance
right.
by law.
That's correct.
So you know, and then we get into the conversations about, you know, what does the majority want versus what do the community as a whole want versus what somebody individually might want to sell their land. It's a very difficult issue because the power of zoning is somewhat inconsistent with the notion of private property rights, is it not?
Well, you know, zoning goes back to Euclid v. Ambler, when the United States Supreme Court in the early 20th century said that zoning is justified to essentially balance public health, safety, and welfare. So, you know, so you can't just put a massive factory next to someone's single-family home unless it's justified in your zoning ordinance. Zoning is supposed to be, you know, the compatibility of like uses being close to each other. You know, it's supposed to be the regulatory implementation, which is some fancy words for saying, what does our long-range plan say, our comprehensive plan, how do we put into rules that govern land development? And it really comes down to the quality of life and the quality of development that people want. There's a reason you go on Michigan Road, the part that's in Carmel, and all of those buildings are in brick. There's a reason you go down to downtown Carmel and all the buildings come up to the street. Yeah, there's a reason that along the Michigan Road corridor in Indianapolis, it's more of a free-for-all.
That's right. Well, and that's where the locals have control over those standards, and they can set those standards if the market will support them. That's why Carmel has higher standards than Lebanon does, for example. Lebanon may want to improve their standards over time, but these things are local controls. Well, Stephen, we've talked a lot of topics here, and I want to cover a couple of things quickly. These standards are currently law in Boone County, but those standards can be changed if the commissioners and the Plan Commission agree on some changes. You know, there's been a conversation about restricting. Our county zoning ordinance has restricted residential development in rural areas for all the reasons you talked about earlier. But there's some areas of our county where they actually want some residential development. The Western Boone Schools, for example, would like some more kids in their buildings.
Right.
We're not getting enough families into the Western Boone area because they can't move out there easily because
right.
the restrictions on zoning and residential subdivisions. So maybe the county commissioners will soften those over time if they have the desire to, correct?
If they have the desire to, but it's not just the desire of like the commissioners or the plan commission saying, oh, we want, you know, more housing in Dover. It also comes back to that comprehensive plan. And we have a comprehensive plan that, yeah, there are parts of the comprehensive plan that do call for additional density. Most of those in the 25 years since it was enacted have been annexed.
Yeah.
So it really would be a community conversation first of where do people feel comfortable with seeing additional growth and what does that look like?
Well, it's an interesting topic and it's one that constantly is in the media and there's a lot of people having interest in it. And people should be aware of these rules and be aware of the roles of these various governmental bodies and how these things change or don't change. So your office is in the forefront of that at the county level, but at the city level, it's a similar procedure, but it's all done by local Lebanon-based staff and officials, correct?
Right, yeah. You know, we work as closely as we can with our partners in our cities and towns. But by statute and their own desires, they may choose to go in their own directions, which the state and their local municipalities empower them to do.
Sure. Well, Stephen, I'm out of time. I appreciate your time today. Maybe we'll get you back a year or two after you've been on the job a little longer and talk about the latest issues. And I appreciate you coming in on What's Up Boone County.
Okay, thanks so much, Ken.
You're welcome. I do not know who our guest will be next week, but I've enjoyed having Stephen Elkins, Director of the Area Plan Commission, in this week. Hope you have a great weekend. Hopefully the weather will cooperate and we'll avoid the winter storm. And we'll see you next week on What's Up Boone County.